Let us all say amen.
Indeed, that is a wonderful story of love. It's good to see everybody this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you this morning. I want to welcome those of you that are visiting here at the Apple Valley Church of Christ. I want you to know that you are honored guests. And we hope and pray that something can be said that'll cause you to think about your soul's salvation. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
And how about the rest of y'all? Huh? Is life that bad?
No.
If so, maybe you need to see me and we can have some one-on-one to where I can show you that in the midst of everything that goes on, we ought to be the most excited, the most motivated, the most enthused people on the face of the earth. You know why I am? Because I got the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
For Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have forgiveness. I don't know about you. When I stop and think about what transpired on Calvary's mountain, I can't help but to be happy.
That's right.
Hey, I have nothing else. I've tried everything else, and guess what? It don't work. That might not be the proper English, but it just don't work. But I've learned that when you trust God and depend on God, God will help you to see that life is not that bad. Matter of fact, it has been said that growing old is not that bad. Versus the alternatives. So growing old is not that bad. Especially if you grow old in the Lord. Paul said, blessed are those that die in the Lord, for they rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. And I don't know about you, when I stop and think about Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, man, what a debt that I know good and well I could not repay. But you know what I ought to have an attitude? You know what that attitude ought to be? I'm going to try my best to repay that debt. You know, it's like you pay them credit cards every month and all that other stuff. You will go through muddy water, climb the highest mountain to make sure your credit score is up there.
That's right.
Well, what about your credit score with the Lord? Huh? Matthew chapter 6 and round about verse number 30. Jesus says, but seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Church, I'm learning that when you really put Christ where he belongs in your life, you don't have to walk around with a cross around your neck, and you don't have to have it on your bumper sticker. Because your life will be what it is. For the past couple weeks, we have been looking at the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. Very powerful, and like I told everyone last week, I don't think we know Jesus.
No.
We know of him, but do we really know the resurrected Christ? Because when I look at what Paul says about this resurrected Christ, Paul says something that I want to have confidence that I can do, but I'm learning that this thing don't come overnight. This is something that you have to practice every single day. It's just like a newborn baby. They don't come out walking, do they?
No.
Well, what do you got to do? You got to teach them to walk. How many of us really know how to walk this Christian walk? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because I don't want us to tell a lie before God, because he knows for sure if we know. But as we've been looking at this, and as I've been looking at this, I've come to realize that I've connected Jesus away from the church, and I've connected the church and Jesus away from my life. Because if Jesus is really who he say he is, then should my life be an example of him that died on the cross?
Amen.
Y'all don't have to say amen. I don't mind. I can talk to myself. I'm good at that. That's one thing I've learned, that when you don't want to say nothing, I know somebody hears me. But I want to show you that as we look at these seven sayings, and I'm going to deviate a little bit from them, because I think it's important that we really get to know who Jesus is. Jesus came and died on a cross that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. What does that do for us? What does that do for you? Does it bring about some joy in you? Does it make you feel that because of who you are and because of your relationship to him, that you really want to serve him? Amen. Yeah, okay, no problem. But this morning,
I want to look at. I'm not going to look at these. I want these up here so you can remember that Jesus died, that you can have the right to the tree of life. But this morning, we're like about 302 days into this new year.
How many of you have taken inventory of where you stand with the Lord? I know you take inventory of where you're at now because, you know, tax season's coming up. You want to make sure you get all the deductions you can get. See, I know. Amen.
But what about the tax deduction if he calls you right now?
Will you receive the crown that fadeth not away? Will you hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will it be, "Depart"? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Well, Lord, I've been in this thing 20 years. Yeah, look at your attitude. Lord, I've been in this thing 20 years. Yeah, but look at your service. Y'all quiet this morning. I know I'm on the right nerve, but that's okay.
But that's not part of the lesson. I want to encourage us as we look at this lesson in Philippians chapter 3, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, to encourage the believer and to remind the believers, stay on track, keep pressing toward the mark. 302 days.
Is God pleased with our service? See, and only you can answer that. I can answer for me,
but only you can answer for that. And I challenge each and every one of us this morning to stop and ask ourselves a question. If death was to knock on our door right now, how would the God of heaven receive us? Would he receive us with joy, or would he be a little upset that we have fallen short of his glory? The wisest man on the face of the earth would write some words that have echoed down the chord of time. Such good lyrics that they put it in a song. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and round about verse number 1. Listen to what Solomon says. Solomon says, "To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what was planted. A time to kill, a time to heal, and a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." The wisest man on the face of the earth, after saying all of this, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse 13, after he disobeyed God, after he allowed the world, the rudiments of the world, to change his mind from God, he says, "It's vanity and vexation of the soul, but I understand what the purpose is." Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. And I'm learning that when you do things God's way, boy, he'll put a smile on your face that you just will not understand from time to time. Matter of fact, he'll put a smile on your face that you look like you should be in a movie. You smiling so good. But church, this morning, I just want to edify us and build us up. As this year starts to draw to a close, I want to encourage us and remind us that God is looking for some servants to do his will on this time side of life. Philippians chapter 3, and round about verse number 13 for the next few minutes is where I want to draw our text from. Paul, as he writes these words, remind the believer that there ought to be a mindset, there ought to be an attitude about the believer. The attitude that every believer ought to have is you ought to be able to see heaven.
That's right.
And you ought to be able to see yourself in heaven. And if you can't see yourself there, I wonder where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But look at what Paul says. Paul says in verse number 13, he says, "Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I've learned to put the past where it belongs."
That's right.
Behind me.
That's right.
And when you want to bring it up, I'm going to put you behind me. Amen, Walls. For somewhere down the line, the believer has to understand that our purpose on this time side of life is not for yourself. Amen. Luke 19 and verse number 10, the Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And Jesus says, "I left you an example." What's the example, Jesus? That you follow my footsteps. So my job is to seek and to save the lost and to keep myself unspotted
from a spotted world. How in the world do you do just that?
Well, James said it. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25. James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And the only way you're going to stay unspotted from the world, you got to have a regular diet.
You know, y'all are good on diets, aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have tried every diet on the market.
Yes, I have.
Have you tried the diet of Jesus? It'll make you smile. It'll make you happy. It'll make you motivated.
Yeah.
I don't think y'all hear me this morning. Because see, with the proper diet of the Word of God,
you understand that nothing can hinder you except for yourself.
Pilate told Jesus on one occasion.
He says, do you not know that I have the power to release you or to crucify you? You know what Jesus told Pilate? Thou hast no power over me except it be given thee from above. And you know what? Because I'm his child, because I've obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, you know Satan has no power over me. Nobody has any power over me unless he gives it to them. And you know how he gives it to them? When I fall into sin.
Jesus, God has to turn his back. But as long as I walk in the light, 1 John chapter 5, as he is in the light,
I have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, it cleanses me
from all my iniquity. That's why I've learned how to forgive myself when I mess up. And I mess up.
Amen.
Oh, I forgot I'm in a group of people that don't mess up. Lord, have mercy.
I want to make sure I'm the first one out of here then. Because, church, when you understand who you are, when you understand what God has done for you, you don't need anybody to tell you anything different. In this text here, Paul says he has a mindset. The mindset is he's forgetting those things which are behind. Well, what's behind you, Paul? Acts chapter 7.
I held the coat of a young man that they stoned to death simply because that young man said to those Jewish religions, leaders, you're stiff-necked, you're hard of
See, when a preacher talk like that, y'all say, well, what are you talking about? It's in your Bible. He held the coat of those individuals that stoned Stephen to death.
But I want you to look at the attitude that Stephen had.
The Bible said he looked up into heaven and he saw the Son of Man and said, Father, lay not this charge up against them. Father, y'all don't hear me this morning.
And see, and I'm learning that when you have that mindset, can't nobody stop you. Can't nobody hinder you but yourself.
And I'm learning that when you get out of the way, boy, God can mold you and shape you the way he wants to shape you and mold you. He says, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing. And I press toward the mark of the high prize that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I forget what I used to be.
How many of y'all used to be a sinner?
Amen.
Oh, y'all still sinning? I'm just asking a question.
Because, see, when you forget where you come from, it's going to be hard to go where you need to go.
Church, I'm planning on making heaven my home.
Amen.
And I know how to get there.
I got to walk in the light as he's in the light. I got to do what he commands. And then I got to keep myself unspotted from the world.
Well, what if it's in your household?
Keep yourself unspotted. See, that's why the child of God has to be the example. We're the example.
Paul says, ye are my epistles, known and read by everyone. See, my life has to be read that I believe what I practice and what I teach. If it doesn't, what does it mean?
You know, how many of us are fathers?
Hello, any fathers? Do your children know that you're the father?
Yes.
Do the world know that you're the father? How about your next door neighbor? Do they know that you're the father?
Or have you just taken a back? Well, let me go. That's not part of the lesson. Verse number 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, as many of us that are mature, we ought to be constantly striving for higher plateaus in our lives.
I don't know about you. I've learned to get away from certain things that hinder me in my Christian walk.
Amen.
And you know one of the biggest problems that hindered me in my Christian walk? It might hinder you too, is gossip.
Yes.
Backbiting. Ooh, y'all quiet. I know I'm on the right nerve there.
Envy. But that don't come out of y'all's mouth, right?
No.
Okay. He says, let us therefore as many as be mature, be thus minded. If anything otherwise, God shall reveal even this unto you. He says, nevertheless, in verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rules. You mean the preacher and the membership got the same rules?
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
I got to be here all the time?
Yes.
You can come when you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I got to give God my best. You can give whatever you want, right?
No,
that's right. He says, let us all walk by the same rules. Let us mind what? The same things. Paul here reminds the believer that if we're going to make heaven our home, we're going to have to follow and do what God commands us to do. It's important that as we walk this Christian walk, we walk by the same rules. We mind the same things. Yes, it is good to get old, but it's good to get old in the Lord. Because life doesn't stop at the grave. Life begins at the grave. Because it's at the grave that's where you're going to need Jesus Christ. See, I can only take you to the grave. You're going to need somebody to take you beyond the grave. And that individual you're going to need is Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us and remind us, keep pressing toward the mark. Do not allow Satan to overpower you, to get the best of you. Allow Jesus Christ to be the author and finisher of your life. And I guarantee you that when you do this, God will help you to be victorious. I've often wondered how you can be in something and not follow all the way through. I don't guess I've ever been like that. I'm either one way or the other. Either I'm going to go to hell or I'm going to go right.
Amen.
Amen. Why go if you ain't going to go right? It makes no sense to me. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go right. I'm going to do everything that's wrong. Amen. But if I'm going to make heaven my home, I'm going to try my very best to let him lead me, let him guide me, and let him direct me. And the only way he's going to lead me and guide me and direct me is I have to have his mindset, because my mind is terrible. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Then Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world? You know people that got everything seem to be miserable?
Yes.
I know a lot of miserable people. And you know, and some of us got a penny and a nail in our pocket and we miserable. Amen. Because until you connect to Jesus Christ, you're going to always have that mindset. And so I'm learning that when I can develop the mind of Christ, I can rise above many of the obstacles that I face in my everyday life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 and 13, Paul says, God will not put no more on you than you're able to bear. But with the way of escape, God has already provided. Church, that's why the child of God ought to be the most excited person on the face of the earth, the most motivated person on the face of the earth, because we have something that the world can have but chooses not to have. I got eternal life. I don't know about you. You know, Jesus said, don't worry about him that can kill the body, but worry about him who can kill both body and soul and then cast it into hell. That's all who we ought to be worried about. But who are we worried about? Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Church, I'm learning to worry about nobody but myself. And I don't have to worry about that because my hand is in the hand of the man from Galilee. That's right. So in the midst of everything that goes on, when I don't know which way to turn, I can cry out, Abba, Father. And guess what? He hears me. Why? Because I'm connected to him. See, the mindset that you and I have to have is a mindset that goes beyond the world in which we live in. Matter of fact, the mindset that you and I are supposed to have is a mindset that most people just will not understand. Even in the body of Christ,
We will not understand the true mindset of Christ unless we stay focused in what he says. Philippians chapter 2 and round about verse number 5, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself." That's the biggest problem in America. Nobody wants to humble themselves to nobody. Because we always think, if I humble myself, it means doormat. No. No, it doesn't. It's understanding that you're in control. And I think that's the biggest problem that we face in our society today. We have forgotten some basic fundamental principles. Standing in line last night, people walking in front of me never ever opened their mouth. Amen. What happened to common courtesy? Oh, y'all quiet. Y'all don't have any either. What happened to common courtesy? What happened to excuse me? Forgive me? Huh? And then you want to know why our children are walking around fighting and fussing and going on. They're just looking at the examples. Amen, walls. You don't have to amen that. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." See, you either bow now or you bow later. That old song, "Pay me now, pay me later," it's true. You either going to follow what Jesus says now, or you'll follow in the days to come. I want to encourage us and remind us, stay pressing toward the mark. As these days draw near and as this year draws to a close, want to encourage you and remind you, stay on track by allowing the Word of God to be the motivating factor in our lives. Church, we're just mere pilgrims and strangers waiting to leave this place to make heaven our home. And I want to encourage us and remind us, in order to make heaven your home, you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to depend on God and allow God to mold you and shape you the way he wants to do that. And I'm a firm believer that when the body of Christ understand who we truly are, we'll turn the world upside down. Jesus took two men and turned the world upside down. And guess what? That's the same Jesus that was working then is working now. And you know, to make sure that we can turn the world upside down, he gave us some help. Hey, amen. I don't know about you, I got some help. Because sometimes when you make me mad, I need the help of that other fella to help me. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, because that Holy Spirit makes me love you, encourage you when I want to beat you and knock you upside your head. Amen. Y'all don't hear me this morning. And church, that's where I believe that when we allow God to really motivate us in our everyday life, church, life will take on a whole new meaning. Want to encourage those of us who are members of the body of Christ. 302 days in this new year. What is your testimony for the Lord? Have you been doing what he commands? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24, the Bible says, "A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves." See, the true servant of God understands his relationship with God. He understands that his life is a life that is supposed to be an example to everyone he come in contact with. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and following, Jesus reminds us that we are the salt, we are the light of the world. But if we are dim, if we are no longer salty, Jesus says, what good are we? We are good for nothing to be trodden out and trampled under the feet of man. I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ, make your calling and election sure. And Peter says, if you do these things, you won't have to worry, you will never stumble, nor will you fall. And then those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something that will encourage your heart. You have heard the word of God. You have heard God's plan to redeem man back to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It's about the gospel. It's about his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Paul says you need to hear God's plan and obey God's plan. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible says you got to believe. This is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and in believing you might have eternal life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that word there, diligent, means that God is with you all the time. And I don't know about you, he's with me all the time. Even when I mess up, he turns his back for a little bit because he know I'm going to repent. Oh, y'all didn't know that? It's just that simple. Then the Bible says you must repent of your sins. Luke 13:5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll come perish. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And he says, I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible teaches that we must be buried in water for the remission of our sin. Contrary to what the world teach, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ, Paul says, have put on Christ. And not only did we put him on through the watery grave, he didn't leave it to chance where you need to go. And I'm sure glad he didn't leave it up to me. Because I'd have you in the stands, church, of what's happening now. No, he didn't leave it up to me. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and following. The Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. He says, but who do you say that I am? Knife-toting, cursing, Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. And Jesus says, hold on, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I ain't smart, but I know what IT means. It. One. And I want to encourage you, if you're here visiting, yeah, you might have some questions about what I say. See me afterwards. Because the whole key is I'm going to heaven, and I'm going the way Jesus died on that cross for me to go. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.